Ramsay wanted the biggest explosion possible, so he added one more ingredient, hydrogen gas. Tanks of gas would be lashed to the bomb. When it detonated, they would rupture. A fraction of a second later, he believed, the flammable gas would ignite too, pushing the walls of the building, already stretched by the first explosion, past the breaking point. Ayad, calling from his office, found a company that would sell him the gas. Three cylinders were delivered to the storage shed on the afternoon of February 25th. Later, the bomb was loaded into the van, along with the tanks. That night, Youssef and Ismail moved closer to the World Trade Center, staying at the Harbor Motor Inn in Brooklyn, the van parked outside. The next morning, Salameh followed them in a rented red Chevy Corsica as they drove the 12 miles to the Twin Towers. They pulled up on an access road where there was no ticket booth and delivery trucks routinely stopped in the no-parking zone. After setting the timer to go off in 7 minutes, Youssef and Ismail got into the Corsica and started driving out of the complex. A truck stopped in front of them, standing still for 2 minutes, while Salameh leaned on the horn in desperation. Then they were clear. At 12:18 p.m. on February 26th, the bomb detonated, ripping a 150-square-foot crater in the nearly foot-thick concrete floor and demolishing much of the surrounding structure. The blast blew through the concourse level of the Vista Hotel 2 floors up, as well as 3 floors down. It tore a 3,000-pound diagonal steel brace off the building, sending half of it flying some 35 feet. The gas enhancement apparently failed. 6 people, most of them building workers, were killed while they ate in a lunchroom, and about 1,000 were injured. The damage to the building cost $510 million to repair. That night, Ramzi Youssef boarded a Pakistani International Airways flight to Karachi. A few hours later, Ismail caught a plane to Oman. Abu Halima stayed in the United States, but 4 days later he panicked. He flew to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, then to Egypt. Salameh planned to travel to Germany on March 5th. First, though, he had an errand to run. On February 25th, the day before the bombing, he reported to the police that the van had been stolen. 2 hours after the blast, he showed up at DIB Leasing, informed them of the theft, and asked for his deposit back. He was told to bring in a police report. He came back again on March 1st and was turned away again. On March 4th, the day before he was scheduled to leave the country, the man behind the counter at DIB handed him $200, which Salameh accepted. As he walked away from the office, FBI agents waiting outside arrested him. By a stroke of luck, investigators at the blast site had turned up a piece of the van's frame, a section where the secondary vehicle identification number was stamped. The secondary VIN, a portion of the 17-digit number on the dashboard, helps authorities track stolen cars and vehicles that are used as the Ford van was. The 8-digit number led the FBI to DIB Leasing. Salameh's refusal to forget the deposit was the thread that unraveled the conspiracy. The FBI interviewed Abdul Rahman Yassin on March 4th. He struck the agents as forthcoming. Believing he would be a cooperative witness, they released him. The next morning, he flew to Oman, the first stop on his way to Iraq.